Okay, so as we approach Christmas, I say it's okay. It's okay to open a gift early. Listen, maybe, does anyone here actually have presents under their tree at this present moment? All right, good. All right. But I think that one gift that's okay to open, I think God would say, yeah, open it. Open it because it's something that he wants all of us to have. And actually, it's not just one thing. It's actually a combo pack, which is even better. And it's hope, it's joy, and it's peace. And it's actually through God's main present that enables us to even have those gifts. And because they don't work, but also they don't work without the power source. It's kind of like if someone gave you a TV for Christmas, but then it gives you, you know, the power cord. You need that. What God wants to give us is in our reading for today. It's in the New Testament reading in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Advent word for the day I want to focus on is the word peace. And it all begins with peace with God. Peace with God. Scripture talks about having peace with God. And it's ultimately why Christ came and what Christmas is all about. Isaiah writes in 53:5, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. It's because of what was put on him that we can have this peace. And God has established peace because of the work of his Son. And it's because of that substitutionary work that we can have it. And there's something that we now can do. We no longer need to hide from God. We no longer need to hide from him. There's some serious concerns going on in our world today, in the lives of people. You can see it within people within the church, people outside of the church. And it's been labeled a connection crisis. And I think that's a great label for it, a connection crisis. In his book, it's a great book, The Connected Life, Todd Hall, he's a professor of psychology at Rosemead School of Psychology over at Biola. He does a beautiful job of laying out literally what this connection crisis is all about. What's difficult is to take all that he said in like a couple hundred pages and condense it into like a paragraph. But what he so I think eloquently says is that if you look at the world today, there are many insecure attachments that exist. And the family and the social unit is becoming steadily weaker. We see it in families, we see it in our culture and society. And then you add to that a decline in civic and community groups over the past 50 years. And the result is this, that we are not living our lives in community as we once did. Leading, I think, for many to feelings of emptiness and lack of meaning. Something is definitely happening in the lives of people today because we just don't have those connections that we used to. But the greatest problem, as he sees it, and I think it's true, there's this close link between this connection crisis that's going on and the spiritual disconnection that we see in people's lives. And there's a lot of insecurity that people have in their relationship with God and not feeling loved, not feeling loved by God. A lot of interviews were done, but one person, I think, summed up kind of the idea in what she said. He says, I have, because of my issues with friends and family and stuff, felt not loved. I've kind of been waking up to the fact and how I built a wall and how I'm blocking God out because of how I have been hurt as a kid. I think just one person is saying, this world I kind of grew up in, whether it was in our home life or society, whatever, it's affected my relationship with God. And all this stuff I got out there, didn't get out there, is how now I'm kind of dealing with my own connection with Him. I think at times we can feel a certain way, like, do you ever feel that God would love you more if? Just fill in the blank. If only I'd done that, God would probably love me more. Or maybe have you ever felt that God is disappointed or upset with you because maybe you do not? It's hard for us to comprehend this truth, that God is not angry with us, that He's not out to get us in some way, or that we disappoint Him or something like that. We have peace with Him. And the reality is, when you look at Scripture, what it says, peace is real. Peace in this sense, the way we're talking about it here in this way, is it's not a feeling. It's an existence. It's an existence entirely separate from us because it's a peace that comes from God. So when I first say we have peace with God, it's talking about this kind of thing. Peace is an objective position we find ourselves in because God has ceased to be hostile toward us and He's reconciled Himself to us. Grace reminds us that God intervened on behalf of His rebellious creation out of His own free will. So the question for us, or for anyone, is, do you want to know if God loves you? And if you say, yeah, I would like to know that God loves me, then here's the answer. Well, look at what He did. Look at what He did for you. He entered into your world. He identified with you. He died in your place. And now, at the right hand of the Father, He lives to intercede for you. All that work, applying to you, praying for you, interceding for you. See, on earth, Jesus' birth brings an announcement of peace. And God intends Jesus' birth to be gospel, good news for all humanity. The unfortunate thing is, many people will reject it. They don't feel they need it. It doesn't make sense. They don't want to deal with it. And so the very peace that they could know and experience, they don't have or they don't receive. So the passage in Isaiah 11, it very profoundly, prophetically announces a kingdom of peace. See, the world of sin gives us one picture, as he lays out. It's a world where the wolf preys on the helpless lamb, the leopard stalks the goat, the lion kills the calf for food. And basically, it's using these images to say everyone's out to get something else or someone else. It's a hostile place. But when the Son of David or the Messiah rules, this hostility ceases. Former enemies will live side by side in peace. And even a helpless little infant will have nothing to fear. So if you're in a world filled with hostility and violence and bloodshed and discord, the vision of this peaceful kingdom that God is saying, this is what I am bringing, has a way of kind of calming us down. It's a picture of Christ's gracious rule over His own. The people who look to Him as the Prince of Peace. And because they know the Lord, they live in peace and harmony with one another. Now, at least in this world as we know it today, it's obvious that the sinful nature is at work in sinful human hearts, which we all have. And it can lead to works of the flesh. But there's the gospel that comes along and changes hearts and plants seeds in them. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And even though a believer is plagued with this sin problem, the gospel comes along regularly and motivates them to embrace and to forgive. Give them the power, give them the vision of what ought to be and can be. And the blessing of Christ's rule of peace is for all people, for all nations. So this peace that comes from God affects our inner peace and what we feel inside. Because if we come to realize that God is at peace with us because of what Christ has done, and we receive and accept that, then we have a peace of mind. And the peace of God is this inner sense of security and serenity that comes from experiencing what Christ has done for us and in us. And it's healing. It's healing to know that. It's healing to embrace that. It's healing to grow in that. And as, again, the author of that book, The Connected Life, says, it was designed to happen in the context of community, this healing. Where collectively, just like what we are doing right now, we come together and we have a shared identity as God's chosen people. We understand that God did this for us. And we share the experience of having received God's mercy. Every one of us can say, it was because of God's mercy that I'm here. And extended his gift of forgiveness. And we share a common purpose to show others the goodness of God. So we understand who we are, what he has done, and what he has called us to be about. It brings us together, and it's in that context of coming together, that connection within the body of Christ, the church, that ideally that's where healing takes place. And we understand who we are and what we've been called to. See, we can only have the peace of God if we have peace with God. And how is this sustained? How is it kind of kept going? Well, Jesus is described in Scripture as the tree of life. So how does Christ function as a tree for believers? Well, it starts out, again, back to that Isaiah passage in chapter 11, verse 1, where we see some hope. It says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. Image of renewal and hope. Hope for the future. Here's a tree that was chopped down by an axe, which is kind of a picture referencing judgment and then renewal. Here's a tree which was severely damaged above the ground, and it looks dead, but the roots are still intact and everything is still attached to that. So that we can see the sprouting of this infant fresh sapling that comes from this. Hope can come. Life can come from even something that looks at the surface to be dead. Light shines into the darkness, and it brings light and life to people. Christ promises to bring us life and rest. He reassures us. He says, you know, come to me. Are you weary? Are you heavy? Are you carrying heavy burdens in life? Just allow me to carry that for you. Give it to me. I'll give you rest. And maybe that's how Christ functions in our lives as this tree in our life. We can rest under the shade of his presence, nurtured by the fruit that he gives us. Last week, we asked the question, you know, how do we define Christmas? Because I think it's in how we define Christmas and what it actually is causes us to, that's what it becomes for us, and that's how we do it. We'll see Christmas as a statement from God to you. Even when people were not looking for him, in his great mercy, God sent people to them to share a promise of good news, the gospel message. Paul is praying here in Romans that people who hear or read the message would have or possess hope. It's no uncertainty like, well, I hope it doesn't rain today, or I hope the next, next Saturday I get my garage cleaned out, or I'm hoping it all works out. That's not what we're talking about. Or the way my life works. So I love this thing. It's called the Monk Manual, and this is my daily planner. But in my daily planner, what I like about it is it starts out, this is just a blank day here, but three priorities I want to do for the day. Here's my to-do list. Always asks me for three things each day, what I'm grateful for, and then also I'm looking forward to. So that kind of lays out how I want to see my day go. And then on the end of the day, you can reflect back how all that came about. Here's the thing. I could look at almost every single day in here and, oh, I didn't do that thing. I did this instead of that. And because you can check off if you're actually on task doing what you're supposed to do. I've never once checked all the boxes of the things I wanted to do or to my do list. Other things happen. And says, oh, I totally forgot about that. Wishful thinking, I hope I can do all these things today. Here's the thing, the good news. That's not how God does it. God doesn't do his planner the way I do my planner. He comes through. And I can trust him to do what he says he will do. And that's the point. That's the point. So it really is, may the God who gives certainty fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with your confidence that's worked in you by the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty good gift. And that's why you don't have to wait to open it. Open it. Open it today. There's no need to wait. And in all the things that you are given or served this season, let God serve you, give you his peace. Because knowing that you are at peace with God gives you peace of mind that enables you to do life differently. And it's done in the beauty of this thing called community as we let that light shine in our world. Let him serve you peace today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts that you give us. You certainly give us a real, true hope. A real true confidence. You give us a sense of peace. And in knowing that, it just kind of creates joy and really helps us to experience and know your love that you have for us and what you've done. And also the power to be able to express that and share that with others. God, may that be our, in a sense, our Advent prayer for ourselves today and in the coming days. Help us just to calibrate almost every day how we define Christmas and what we want Christmas to be, and just work through that. God, as we go into our world this week, help us to know again who we are, what you've called us to be and do. Maybe there is disconnection in different ways in our lives, but God, bring peace. Maybe it's in a relationship with us and someone else. Something that just needs to get worked out. But God, work that peace in and through us. Thank you for who you are, what you give us, that we can be together as your family today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now take our offering.